Could those symbols of Americana, the Jeep and Ram pickup truck, become Chinese? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There's news today that a big Chinese car company is at least interested in buying Fiat Chrysler automobiles. An official at Great Wall Motors is quoted by Reuters today, confirming that Great Wall has the intention to acquire the international company with roots in Michigan and Italy. The BBC's Andrew Walker is following this for us.
Great Wall Motors is pursuing a company that brings together a major European player in Fiat of Italy and Chrysler, known as one of the big three of the North American industry. At this stage, there's no certainty that a takeover will go ahead. But if it does, it would represent a new stage in the international expansion of Chinese business. Great Wall has a particular focus on sport utility vehicles, and it's thought to be especially interested in Jeep, an iconic American brand in that part of the market, which is owned by Fiat Chrysler.
Andrew, thank you. Fiat Chrysler has not confirmed this, we should note, just that source at Great Wall. The exodus from Mar-a-Lago, the Palm Beach resort owned by the President of the United States, gathers apace. More than a dozen groups, including the American Cancer Society, the Red Cross, Cleveland Clinic, have canceled fundraisers and other events after the President's comments last week about Charlottesville that many consider beyond the pale. Marketplace's Rima Crace has more on where the Mar-a-Lago business is going.
In Palm Beach, it's simply known as the season, the period between Thanksgiving and Easter when high society is engaged in a grueling marathon of glitz, and businesses can't count their money fast enough.
Hundreds of events, charity balls, there's luncheons, there's cocktail receptions.
Shannon Donnelly is society editor for the Palm Beach Daily News. Party cancellations at Trump's resort could put hundreds of thousands of dollars up for grabs because, says Donnelly,
they're not going to not have them. They're going to just move them.
Nick Gold, who represents O Palm Beach Resort and Spa, says the phone has been ringing.
We have 309 guest rooms here at the resort, so it means, you know, additional room revenue, you know, additional staff to be brought on to help service these events.
A single event, he says, can draw up to 700 people. And because Palm Beach is a small market, groups often rebook the same place year after year, signing contracts way in advance.
So changing and pulling out at the last minute is a challenge.
A challenge Gold and his competitors will gladly take on. I'm Rima Crace for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is acting like it's a lazy day in August. It's up a single point. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures also have hardly moved, with the Dow future up 4 points and the NASDAQ future flat. The dollar is up, with the euro costing $1.17.5. It takes some intestinal fortitude to bet against billionaire investor Warren Buffett, but there's news today that the U.S. utility company Sempra Energy will buy electricity distributor Oncor Electric of Texas for nearly $9.5 billion. Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway had thought they had the deal all sewn up with a $9 billion offer. What is the best way to help people in need? Some economists argue, well, just give them money. Once upon a time, there was a flamboyant entrepreneur named Percy Ross who made a bunch of money in plastics, plastic trash bags, to be specific. Now, in the 1980s and 90s, Ross, who died in 2001, did a newspaper column out of Minnesota in which he set himself up as America's rich uncle and just gave money to people who wrote in. Jackie Shine has written a nice piece about the late Percy Ross in the publication Long Reads. Ms. Shine, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Thanks a Million was his newspaper column. What did he do with that?
People would write in and ask for money for almost anything. And Percy Ross would read through the letters. And by and large, if somebody requested something under $1,000 and he liked the request, he just sent them a check.
So he's a little seat of your pants here. I mean, it's in contrast to big charities today who tend to be more data-driven and they want the recipients to demonstrate the need with statistics and then deliver metrics to show impact. This wasn't Percy Ross.
No. American philanthropists and everyday Americans, too, are very concerned about how that money is used and about the kind of moral values that it expresses about the people they give it to. Percy Ross was not interested in that. One of my favorites was that he gave a woman money to keep her 92-year-old grandfather in girly magazines for the rest of his life. He paid for winter coats. Sometimes he paid people's electric bills and property taxes. In the way that a philanthropy targets its money very specifically, Percy Ross didn't have a kind of ethic of giving.
And toward the end, the latter years of his newspaper column, he did something interesting that you found striking. It was a kind of crowdfunding?
He would print in his column particular letters from people who needed huge amounts of funding for whatever project he deemed worthy. And people would send in cash. So there is a YMCA in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan that was funded through readers sending $50,000 in dollar bills. They funded a heart transplant for a woman in Texas. They sent 15,000 children's books to a teacher in California.
That's interesting. That's the closest analog to these crowdfunding systems that we see online now.
Especially given the degree to which people now rely on crowdfunding to pay for medical costs. Absolutely.
Marketplace.org, the mentioned on-air tab. We have a link to the long reads piece about Percy Ross, the serial entrepreneur turned philanthropist, written by Jackie Shine. Ms. Shine, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And before we go, I woke up this morning much more attractive than usual. Want to hear my beauty secret? I am the guy in the office who thought ahead and bought the pack of ISO-certified Eclipse glasses. Now everyone here is acting like my best friend. It's like wearing a sirloin steak around your neck to get the dog to like you. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Eclipse glasses for the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.